Thank you. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-100 DK Properties LLC. Now, before we start our public hearing, I want to advise everyone that we are aware of an issue regarding the 51% requirement for consent. We understand that there are some that situation is in dispute. Both sides will be given the opportunity to address it if they wish. However, the commission this evening cannot make a ruling on that issue, so we are going to hold the record open on this public hearing for the purposes of receiving a report from the staff and an opinion from our counsel regarding that. So that's the status of whether you're in or you're out or up or down or whatever. It's something that we know needs to be addressed. We can't do it here, and we do not wish to waste your time, send you home without your public hearing. So here it is. Mr. Lang.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, dividing 86.53 acres into 103 lots located at the end of Dove Knoll Drive and Turtle Dove Drive within Dove Knoll subdivision on the north side of Route 1. This application has also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if we received any additional comments and what comments we have received since that TAC meeting.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC review of August 23rd of 2006 will be made a part of the record. We received 9 letters in support of this application. We have 141 either letters and or petitions in opposition to this application. The applicants on May the 7th submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. Each one of you has a copy of that. And do you want to know the numbers of the in favor or against right now?
I think it's been such a moving target. I don't know that it would be particularly meaningful to us. But Mr. Burrell, do we want that on the record at this time, or does it matter?
You can go ahead and put that on and then allow it to continue to move as we go through the hearing.
All right, there you go.
There were 4 letters handed in earlier this evening. Those people originally agreed to the application. They're now opposed to it. Right now we have 50 in support of and 62 against. There's 112 total lots existing. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the fact that you have made an attempt to limit this debate over the topic of whether or not we have 51% of consent of the owners of the properties in Dove Knoll. I just want to supplement for the record that while Mr. I take it on faith that Mr. Abbott is correct, that there are 50 in favor and 62 in opposition tonight. That we'd like to point out that yesterday afternoon the vote was 59 in favor and 47 opposed, and it is that which has precipitated the debate over whether or not there is or is not a majority, 51% that is, of the owners of the property in Dove Knoll who consent to the application. The only other 2 things I'd like to note for the record are that at the time that Mr. Burrell rendered his opinion earlier, we had 51% of that vote, and at the time the decision was made to go forward with this process and to publish notice of the application being heard, we had 51%. And in fact, as of yesterday afternoon, we have 51%. I feel like George Bush or Al Gore in some way. Maybe tomorrow it'll be different after we present this. Who knows? But in any event, the 2 topics that I think that my friends from Dove Knoll and I will agree on is that the ordinance is silent as to 2 important things. One of them is the threshold date upon which you count the vote. It is a moving target as it is established now. I've given you at least 2 or 3 dates that support me. I'm sure that two or three dates will be given by my opposition is that will support their position. But there is a need for a definition as to what is the threshold date. And secondly, a definition or a ruling needs to be given as to whether or not a consent once given can be withdrawn. And I suppose in the alternative, if there is opposition, can you change your mind and now support the application? So those are the two challenges I think that Mr. Burr will be facing over the course of the next few weeks as he looks at this particular project. Having said that, preliminarily, I would like to introduce to you Mr. Robert Benson, who is one of the principals of Dove Knoll Extension, one of the people who are proposing this application. And I also have with me Mark Davidson and J.C. Owens, who I think are known to you, who are part of the design team for this particular project. We heard Mr. Johnson's comments about the presentation of a subdivision application requiring an exhibit book or a presentation book, and we also heard Mr. Johnson's comments about the plus remarks. We have, in fact, submitted, as you're aware, a presentation book, which we have asked or will ask to be made a part of the record. That book is fairly extensive. It may be a little more cumbersome than you would like to see, but it does have a fair number of exhibits, and as we go through the evening, Mark will be referring to the various contents that are sent out in this particular booklet. Among other things, he will be describing for you an overview of the tracks, how we got from the original subdivision, how we get to the proposed extension, the effect of the PLUS and TAC reviews on this particular application, the requirements of Section 99-9C and how we have met those requirements, where water will come from, how we'll have some open space management, and there are other things that he will discuss, and I don't want to get into the details. I should point out to you that we do have an application for 86.53 acres of a project that was originally known as Dove Knoll. The portions of the property that we are proposing for re-subdivision are a part of what are known as parcels B and C and lot 17 of Dove Knoll. The area which is involved is 86.5 acres, and we're proposing 103 lots for this particular project. Currently, this property is wooded. It is used only as vacant land, and our proposal is for single-family dwellings, nothing more. The streets and roads in this project are DelDOT dedicated. There will be no private streets. Sanitary waste will be disposed through the Sussex County Engineering Department with the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Water will be provided through Tidewater Utilities, Inc. There are delineated wetlands on this project, but none of the lots will intrude into the federal wetlands, and there are preservation programs in effect that will be proposed in order to protect those wetlands. What I'd like to do right now is turn the floor over to Mark and let Mark introduce you to all of the technical requirements of this particular project. And I'll be back after that.
Good evening, Mark Davidson. I'm the owner of Design Consultants Group, located in Milton, Delaware. In the booklet, I have submitted my qualifications for the record. As we stated, the location of this subdivision, if you look over this map here, is the portion of the subdivision that's being
Mr. Lank might be able to help you with that.
Probably not. Batteries don't seem to last very long.
Golly day.
There should be another one down there.
Mr. Chairman, while they fiddle with that thing, for the benefit of the persons who are present in the audience who have an interest in this application, there are duplicate sets of exhibits on the easels, one facing the commission and one facing the audience. And if you do have trouble, I'm sure the chair will let you come forward to the front row and sit and have an opportunity to get a better look at it.
Please do feel free to move around, move up, walk up, take a look. Just do it quietly, but by all means, it's here for you. So take a look at it if you need to. All right, Mr. Davidson, go ahead.
I'll talk loud.
All right.
The portion of the subdivision that we are re-subdividing is located to the northeast of the existing parcel A for Dove Knoll.
Excuse me. Mr. Owens, would you be so kind as to be the pointer on this board so that these people don't have to crane their necks around trying to see what he's doing? Thank you.
We are also located northeast of what is known as existing Midway Estates. We are approximately southeast of Bay Crossing. We are north of the Big Oaks Campground. We are surrounded on the northeast and the southeast side by Pothole Creek and Wolf Glade. The original subdivision plans, and they are in the booklet. Is recorded in plot book 56, pages 255 to 256, labeled second revision record subdivision plan for Dove Knoll. It was approved June 18, 1996. Consists of parcel A, which is approximately 74 and a half acres with 70 single family lots. There's approximately 8.2 acres of open space. There's 3 acres of wetlands and approximately 4.2 acres of remaining lands. The remaining lands is the portion to the west of the, it's actually on the north side of Dove Knoll Drive. Parcel B has approximately 29 and a half acres with 18 single family lots. There's 14.2 acres of wetlands and there are no upland open space. And parcel C is approximately 46 acres in size with 23 single family lots with 9.8 acres of wetlands and there's no upland open space on that portion of the subdivision. Lot one in parcel A, which is located at the beginning of the subdivision, back in 1996, was amended and expanded into two lots, which is known as 1A and 1B. That makes up the 112 lots that are existing at this time. On the cover page of the submitted subdivision plats, delineates the lot numbers under our proposal that we are amending. Our proposal is to amend and expand lot 17, parcel A, parcels B and C of the Dove Knoll subdivision into 103 single-family lots under section 115-25B1, the standard lot option. The smallest lot size will be 20,000 square feet with an average lot size of 22,397 square feet. The density will be 1.19 lots per acre. 29% of the area of 25.39 acres that is being amended and expanded will be dedicated as open space. There are approximately 18.92 acres of Section 404 non-title wetlands on site. The lot size comparison for the developed lots in Parcel A under the original plan to those of the undeveloped lots in parcels B and C and lot 17 of parcel A under the amended and expanded plan is similar in size and density. Parcel A under the original plan has their smallest lot at 20,000 square feet with a density of 1.17 lots per acre, and the amended and expanded plan has their smallest lot at 20,000 square feet with a density of 1.19 lots per acre. This subdivision does lie within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. We have prepared in our submittal in the booklets under section 115-195.3B2 of the code. And under this section, we have submitted the environmental assessment public and public facility evaluation report, also located in the booklet, along with the subdivision plans, the TAC comments, the state planning coordination plus application, the comments to that, to their response, and their response letter. Also in the booklet is the environmental phase one that was done for this portion of the property. a geotechnical soils work, and a nutrient protocol. Under section 115.194.3, the stormwater structures for proposed drainage design, the stormwater structures for this site are, we're proposing a couple of stormwater management ponds located approximately in the middle of the section that we are re-subdividing. These ponds will act as a, they will be wet ponds, and everything above the normal pool in those areas will act as infiltration. I'll step back one. The actual infiltration will occur in the bigger pond here. The pond located in this section here will be a will just be a wet pond. Stormwater structures are one of the most effective techniques for providing channel protection and pollutant removal prior to entering the existing streams. The stormwater structures are among the most adaptable and effective and widely applied stormwater treatment practices in developing areas. The fact that this site has both existing wetlands and stream with the land use cover that presently exists shows that the wetlands and streams on site are acting as water quality practices prior to the runoff leaving the site. With the introduction of the single-family lots, permanently vegetated landscape, open areas, and additional ponds, the amount of pollutants leaving the site will decrease, thus the runoff will be reduced prior to entering the existing aquatic resources. During the design of the stormwater management system, we will work with the Sussex Conservation District to achieve the best management practice for the development. We have prepared a detailed nutrient accounting process known as a nutrient budget. It was prepared as per the Denerex nutrient protocol, and the resultant data indicated that the mandated TMDL reduction was met for this property, and that report is in your booklet. Street trees will also be furnished throughout the site and offered as an option along the existing streets within Parcel A. The benefits of street trees has been thoroughly documented. They play a prominent role in carbon sequestration, air pollution absorption, street traffic calming, and asphalt life cycle extension and energy conservation. Water for this site will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. They have initiated a certificate of public convenience and necessity, and the water for this site will come through. Two easements have been acquired by the DK Extension Services. The lots 81 and lot 82 in Midway Estates, there's a 25-foot wide easement that has been purchased. The existing water system for Tidewater Utilities right now comes through Midway Estates. The system, as we're told by Tidewater, and based on the approval that we've gotten from them, they will upgrade the water system within Midway Estates to service the back area of parcels B and C. The wastewater for this project will be serviced by the Sussex County Public Sewer. Wastewater from this development would tie into the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. We have submitted a wastewater report to Mr. Mike Izzo with the County Engineering Department. That report is in the booklet. The design for the wastewater for this facility, there will be a pump station that will be located. There's an open space next to lot 41 and behind lot 38. There will be a pump station located in that region there. Everything within this site here will gravity to that pump station. Two force mains will exist from that pump station. One force main will, the force main will go to an existing pump station that's at the end of Turtle Dove Drive. The remaining portion of the subdivision will gravity flow into an existing manhole that is at the end of the easement that was purchased at Midway Estates. So essentially the subdivision is going to be broken up into two sections when it comes to the wastewater flow. What that'll do is it breaks the flow up. The existing pump stations that are located in Midway Estates and Dove Knoll and Parcel A will be upgraded with pumps only. No other construction will be needed in order to service the back 103 lots. Again, what we will be doing is we will tie a force main into an existing manhole at the end of Turtle Dove Turtle Dove Drive and an existing manhole that is located at the end of our easement between lots 181 and 182 of Midway Estates. The analysis of the traffic, there was no traffic impact study that was needed by DLDOT. To support the existing traffic and additional traffic from this development, road improvement plans for this project will be finalized with DLDOT. All roads in Parcel A, as well as all the proposed roads for Parcels B and C, will be state maintained. All construction documents will be submitted to DLDOT, and a letter of no objection, which is in the booklet, has been obtained by DLDOT. There's no endangered threatened species were identified during the environmental and the wetlands study performed on this site. A wetland delineation has been performed on this site by Environmental Resources Incorporated. As I previously stated, 18.92 acres of non-tidal wetlands were identified within the property. The wetland delineation report was submitted to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In the booklet is the approval by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the wetlands delineation. There will be no disturbance to the wetlands, and an additional 10-foot setback has been added to the rear of all proposed lots that are adjacent to all the non-tidal wetlands. The preliminary subdivision plan shows a variety of open space that adds up to approximately 29% of the entire site area for parcels B and C, which exceeds the minimum open space requirement as outlined in Sussex County's code section 99-21D. This open space is provided to the residents of parcels A, B, and C for recreation, wildlife habitat, landscaping, and stormwater management. Access easements along certain portions of lots that are going to be located along the wetlands. We're proposing 15-foot wide access along these lot lines so that the residents can have access for nature walks along the wetlands. The overall recreation for the proposed open spaces will consist of clubhouse, swimming pool. There will be a bus stop located in the clubhouse area and sidewalks throughout parcels B and C. Passive recreation space in the form of improved landscape areas and related amenities is provided throughout the site and will provide opportunities for residents to engage in leisure activities. Under H, there's a description of the provision for public and private infrastructure. As I previously discussed the water and the sewer that will be placed on this site, as well as the roads that will be built as per DLDOT standards, all of which will be installed and will be constructed by Dove Knoll Extension, LLC. The proposed amended plan provides for an entirely upgraded Dove Knoll, one which affords all Dove Knoll existing and future residents the opportunity for comparable amenities, lifestyle, and home lot appreciation. Upgrades and improvements such as distinctive stone entrance sign, street lighting and street trees, common area landscaping, walking trails, and community center with swimming pool available to all are the key components of the plan that encourages improvement throughout all of Dove Knoll. Per data received by the State Historic Preservation Office, there are no archaeological sites located on this property. The proposed subdivision layout in the environmentally sensitive developing area of the AR1 zoning district is defined as a developing district. This proposal meets the guidelines for a low density development utilizing section 115-25B1 standard lot option under the county code. This development provides for a density of 1.19 lots per acre. The extension of Sussex County Central Wastewater System to this development will protect the inland bays from excessive amounts of nutrients. Tidewater Utilities, Inc., a privately owned water company regulated by the Public Service Commission, will provide water service to this development, and the housing types in this development will be single-family detached dwellings. The applicant will follow all local, county, state, and federal requirements during the completion of Dove Knoll, phases B and C. We have provided in detailed form within the booklet all the studies that have been performed to help mitigate any impacts that this development may cause to the adjacent neighboring properties, the adjacent wetland complex, the existing forested areas on site. Additional street trees will be planted along all roadways. In addition to this section, the plan has taken into consideration section 99-9C as adopted by the ordinance, as adopted by ordinance 1152. We have provided written response in your booklet. The integration of this subdivision layout as proposed under section 115-25B1 is in keeping with the surrounding area lot sizes within Dove Knoll as well as the adjacent subdivisions. The lots have been placed within this site so that all lots will be served by a gravity sanitary sewer collection system that will tie it into a new proposed pump station. No lots will encroach into the wooded wetlands, and all lots within the upland wooded areas will be subject to a tree removal restriction outlined by the covenant and restrictions in the Dove Knoll Extension Architectural Review Committee. Minimum use of wetlands and floodplains. I've talked about the wetland delineation that's been approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. There is a very limited portion of the rear lots along the wetlands are within the 100-year floodplain. Based on the flood insurance rate map dated January 6, 2005, this portion of the subdivision is located within three zones. There's a zone X shaded, and then there's a zone AE, which has an elevation, a base flood elevation of 8. In referencing our subdivision plans, the base flood elevation 8 was digitized from the above referenced firm and is shown as approximate. The base flood elevation would therefore be delineated along contour line number 8, as shown on the subdivision plans. Our topography is based on NGVD 29 datum, which is what the FEMA flood maps are based on. The contour line 8, as shown on the subdivision plan, incorporates approximately the rear 20 to 30% of all lots along forested wetlands. Any structures that would be located within that portion would have to follow the guidelines of the flood certificate. The applicant will preserve a larger portion of the existing upland woodlands. All lots adjacent to the wetland areas will have larger rear setbacks. This will allow for a provision of a 15-foot wooded greenway and a 15-foot lot greenway. The greenways will guarantee the preservation of a portion of the upland woodlands and ensure participation of property owners in their management and preservation in perpetuity. 100% of the wooded wetlands will be preserved. Our plans also call for the preservation of existing upland woodlands within front and side setbacks. Trees are an important factor in maintaining the privacy and natural attractiveness of Dove Knoll parcels B and C, and are regarded as an asset to the individual lot owners. The subdivision plan, again, has been altered to include preservation of the upland woodlands along the front and side setbacks. Conservatively, we expect to preserve at least 10 to 20 feet of a width of these trees in these setback areas, allowing for some clearance due to utilities. Because lots will be sold as wooded lots and because home builder footprints are unknown at this time, the actual quantity of upland woodlands upland woods to be cleared is difficult to ascertain. We anticipate that the total trees to be removed will be much less than that presented in our plans, as septic systems will not be installed for these homes, and most home buyers and builders in the marketplace understand the significant price premiums associated with wooded lots. Additionally, the Homeowners Association will scrutinize proposed home site plans with a bias towards woodland preservation. These practices should significantly reduce the overall acreage of upland woodlands projected for removal. The removal of trees of certain diameter will be subject to the covenants restrictions in the Dove Knoll Extension Architectural Review Committee, and only permitted for the erection or placement of dwellings for the construction or placement of utility lines. The developer also acknowledges that the forest provides important water quality, air quality, and wildlife benefits both for the site and the region as a whole. Great caution will be exercised to preserve the forested resources on site as much as possible. We will look at during the design of the subdivision using the natural soil on site. We will take into consideration the topography for this site when doing all the construction documents. The forest area on site will be considered a community asset and will be managed appropriately by the Homeowners Association with the guidance of CPR Management LLC. In the booklets in the back, there's a letter outlining CPR Management's experience. And to summarize, CPR manages approximately 45 communities throughout Sussex County, which together cover several hundred acres of both manicured lawns and open space that is treated as natural habitat where birds and wildlife coexist with homeowners. They have considerable experience in nutrient management and in mowing best practices to prevent unwanted loss of soils and erosion. Several of their communities have recently been awarded grants to establish planting areas for native plants and add value to the communities over the long term. Under number six, the screening of objectional features from neighboring properties. Again, we have placed the stormwater management facilities within the middle of the site. One of the other comments that came out of the PLUS review was that we redesigned Covey Court in the vicinity of lots 20 to 24. We've removed it away from the existing parcel A. We have provided a 30-foot wide planting buffer. We do show some landscaping on this illustrative rendering here, but on the subdivision plat, there will be a 30-foot planted buffer between those lots and the existing lots in parcel A. I've already discussed the water supply and the sewage disposal for this site. Again, we have prepared a nutrient budget for the site. All TMDLs have been met. A 5-foot sidewalk on one side of the proposed road will be provided. As I previously stated, a school bus stop, the community center, will be located at the end of Dove Knoll Drive, what is known as the existing Dove Knoll Drive, as it comes into parcels B and C of the site. The bus stop will be located within the parcel for the clubhouse, or at the entrance to the clubhouse. The proposed amended plan provides for an entirely upgraded Dove Knoll, one which affords all Dove Knoll existing and future residents the opportunity for comparable amenities, lifestyle, and home lot appreciation. Upgrades and improvements such as distinctive stone entrance signs, street lighting, and trees, common area, landscaping, walking trails, and community center with swimming pool available to all are the key components of a plan that encourages improvement throughout all of Dove Knoll. The proposed amended plan is far superior to completing Dove Knoll under the original plan as it provides in the existing subdivision plans. The approval of this project at 1.19 units per acre will provide housing opportunities just off the north-south corridor of Route 1, which this project is approximately a half mile back from Route 1. And it's adjacent to more intensely developed and zoned uses to the northwest and will result in the conservation of farmland by locating such a project in an appropriate location. Also, this project has provided for 29% open space. The developer desires to target buyers who desire to live in close proximity to the employment centers with access to a major north-south traffic corridor such as Route 1 and a desirable school district such as Cape and Lopen. And again, a dedicated bus shelter will be provided for the children of the development. As was previously stated, there was no traffic impact study that was needed for this site. We do have a letter of no objection for the road design for this project. The proposed lot sizes and density for parcels B and C are compatible with parcel A with an increase in open space. The subdivision is surrounded by a campground on the south side, single-family resident lots on the west side, and a mixed-use single-family and multifamily project on the north side. and the effect on number 17, best management practices will be implemented to the greatest degree practical to protect sensitive headwaters and other water bodies. With the TMDL being met for this site and the use of stormwater management ponds will ensure protection of existing waterways on and off site. Thank you.
Before I introduce Mr. Benson, I want to point out, I believe there was a letter from Tidewater Utilities submitted to staff and for the record indicating that they were willing and able to serve the community with water. I would like to introduce now Mr. Benson, who is one of the members of the LLC that is proposing this application. I'd like to give you some brief comments on how we got here from the original Dove Knoll to the proposed expansion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I'm Bob Benson, and I'm a member of DK Extension LLC. We're the developer of record for the Dove Knoll subdivision. And suffice it to say that this community is one of exceptional circumstances. It involves a community and a plan that is nearly 15 years old. It also involves two owners of separate parcels having a total of 41 individual lots, which were included with the 71-lot parcel, which has been developed. And finally, it involves a single homeowners association having a one page of covenants and restrictions, again, nearly as old as the community, and not necessarily relevant to the existing market conditions today. When we were asked to consider how to take a project that had been in various stages of development or non-development for many years, we obviously stood back and took a look at the record. We took a look at the opportunities that would exist through the existing ordinances and regulations, and we also did a market study of personal visits with residents of the community. We determined that there were three options under which we might go forward, and quite honestly, during that period of determination, we had to do a lot of discovery relative to infrastructure opportunities, relative to new requirements in place for infrastructure relative or compared to what was in place nearly 15 years ago. Option number one to us was to move to have the subdivision declared invalid. We considered that, and we felt that that it was not the best option. And I'll get to the best option in a minute. In fact, you're looking at the best option from our perspective. Number two was to move to have the undeveloped parcels, which are owned by the Fannins and the Holstons, removed from the existing subdivision by agreement of the existing lot owners. Again, we had our reasons for not deciding on number two, and actually they're similar to number one. Our reasons for not deciding on number one or number two was because, per our application, to move to re-subdivide the original subdivision plan with consent of the existing lot owners, we felt that we were in the best position to serve them and to benefit them relative to the overall plan. This is consistent with our initial meetings with the Holstons, who were property owners or heirs of the property owners. Their concern has always been about doing the right thing, and in this scenario, our concerns are the same. We want to do the right thing. We want to do the best thing for all the parties that are involved. While completing the subdivision under the original subdivision plan might also seem to have been an option, we never really considered it because of the potential for financial burden on the existing lot owners. Quite simply, as at the time at which the plan was originally submitted and approved, there was no requirement for stormwater, infrastructure, open space management, et cetera. And as we considered, again, and as we learned as we were going through this process, we considered how that might be implemented under our doing the right thing relative to all of the members of the community. We were concerned that proceeding as we probably most easily could have under the existing subdivision plan, that as we left the community and turned the infrastructure over to the existing homeowners association, that at that time there would be 112 lots in the community, and much of the infrastructure would be in the section where the 41 new lots were, yet relative to the total number of 112, 71 owners in the original section would bear a disproportionate amount or prorata amount of the required maintenance, insurance, and management of the infrastructure. So that's why we ruled out completing the project under the existing plan. In short, it's an old project, it's an old subdivision, it's the plan was outdated, and to bring it up to a level that could be, that could meet our goals of doing the right thing, unfortunately, we determined that it would just be too much of a burden to ask the existing property owners to incur that ongoing expense. So, that being said...
Excuse me, sir, just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I would appreciate it if you would give the man the courtesy of your silent attention. And I will assure you, when it's your turn to speak, he will be silent. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The highlights of what we're intending to propose, and let me first say that the overview of what we're intending to propose is that, Mark Davidson mentioned it earlier, is that we're intending to take an old community and make it new. Along in keeping with that goal, at the same time, we're intending to not burden the existing property owners with any of the expenses that would come along with upgrading the entire community. Our vision would be that upon completion of our amended plan, a person could drive into the entrance of the community, drive throughout the community, and see a uniformity that would exist throughout. They would also see that it was one community, that it had shared amenities, and what they wouldn't know is that the original owners of the 71 original lots in Parcel A were not participating in any way, shape, or form in the expense for maintaining the community. In that vein, we have put within our application items like we've committed to pay the existing budget for the Dove Knoll Owners Association, known as DKOA, 10 years of their annual expenses in a lump sum amount of $133 that we would then provide to the Homeowners Association. I should say that while talking about the Homeowners Association, that it's also important to note that an important part of this plan is that the new section, the currently undeveloped sections, parcels B and C, would, under our plan, have its own Homeowners Association separate from. And the reason for that, well, actually, there are two reasons. The primary reason is that it would enable the existing DKOA in Parcel A to retain its autonomy and control of its community without having to deal with the other issues of a newer community with covenants and restrictions that would need to be applied there as well. Also, it would enable them to maintain a significant or a definite majority of control of their community, because again, if the community is completed under the existing subdivision plan and it moves from 71 lots to 112 lots, it is not able to maintain its 75% majority of homeowners in the existing section relative to the overall community. So we felt it was very important that they would be able to retain autonomous control of their existing community. It was not difficult for us to imagine that 41 new owners coming in on large estate lots, which could be significantly different than the lots that exist in Parcel A, with much more expensive homes, it was not difficult for us to imagine that those 41 owners, just gaining a couple of owners from Parcel A, could ultimately control or have a major impact on the management of Parcel A. And that was something that the owners of the property, the Holstons, made very clear to us going going forward, or actually as we started out, that they did not want the existing owners in Parcel A to be negatively impacted in any way. And we agreed that was under the, you know, let's do it right arrangement for a development that for many years has had a lot of wrong done in it. We felt that if we maintain the let's do it right, that a big part of that would be that it would not the Parcel A owners not losing autonomous control of their community. The other thing, the second part of why we would have a homeowners association in the separate homeowners association in the newer end of the community is that would facilitate our being able to move all of the expenses to maintain all of the upgrades and all of the amenities and all the infrastructure and everything. All the new expenses would then be moved into the new homeowners association. And as they come into their new community, as they buy their lots, they would then understand that prior to their buying their lots or buying their homes, we're not sure exactly how that's going to end up relative to whether it'll be home lot packages or lots or whatever. But what that would do is it would facilitate the dedication of all of those expenses to that homeowners association, thereby relieving the existing homeowners association of the burden, while they still yet get to enjoy and have rights for perpetuity to most of the new amenities in the community. The only amenity in the community that we're proposing to limit is the swimming pool membership of the community center. And what we're proposing per our application is that for a period of 10 years, the existing owners in Parcel A would have free and unrestricted membership at no charge, at no cost, to the complete Dove Knoll swimming pool and community center. But at the 10-year point, they would be offered the opportunity to continue as fee members for the pool. So they would not be required, even at the 10-year mark, to contribute to the expenses for the management of the community center and or the swimming pool. If I haven't made it clear, what we've attempted to do and what we believe we've done here is that we have completely removed any opportunity for the Parcel A owners to be burdened with any expense, current or future, relative to the upgrading and the finalization of the community. I realize as I'm reviewing my notes here that I didn't speak accurately regarding the one-time lump sum payment of to the Homeowners Association. The one-time amount, rather than $133,000, should be $133,000.
We figured that out.
Is what we would be paying. And again, the goal in making that investment is so that they would not have in any way, shape, or form be burdened with any of the expenses that come out of this out of the new community. Finally, it's important to consider that the inclusion of the benefits listed that I've itemized, along with the projected prices of the new homes on the new lots, will result in a dramatic increase in property values for existing owners. In short, Dove Knoll will become the new Dove Knoll, the entire community, for all property owners. And that's what's really important to us. Everybody in the community will realize a new community, ultimately, not just the new sections. But existing owners in the developed section will not be burdened with increased costs in any way. They'll enjoy the benefits of a contemporary new community without the burden of the associated expenses. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to me today.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
If you'll just permit me for a moment, Mr. Chairman, let me summarize a couple of things that I think that are important for your consideration of this particular project. First off, as you've listened to Mr. Davidson and you've listened to Mr. Benson, you can understand that this was not a project that came together as a haphazard or a thoughtless project. It came together with an intention to to accomplish several goals, not the least of which is a project that would be acceptable to modern standards within zoning law. If you take a look at the original extended area of Dove Knoll, which is this particular board here on the floor, and JC, if you'll put it up, if I were to come in here tonight and to present that to you, I would have minimal hope of getting that approved for a number of reasons, including the fact that the lots intrude into the wetlands, it's in floodplains, and there are other deficiencies available. What my client is proposing to you at least has three or four things that are good. One, we're going to minimize and reduce the intrusions into the wetlands by making the lots smaller. We're not going to go down to the creek. We're going to use the best management practices in order to control the TMDL and stormwater management runoff. Open space has been increased from 0% to 29% and controlled. The density at 1.19 compares favorably with the density out in the older area of 1.17. And I got to stop and say something about older. We're talking project that is 15 years old, and I have trouble reconciling old with 15 years. I just, you know, 15 years ago when I was, there are projects that I can't believe are considered old after
15 years ago.
And lastly, but not leastly, I have a history of working for a number of municipalities, and one of the most important issues going through municipalities right now is the economic impact of growth and how that economic impact of growth applies to municipalities. And I think the developer here understands that there is an economic impact from the growth that he proposes in this project and is suggesting to you that there is a way to make that impact to the extent that it would apply to all of Dove Knoll painless for those who are in the older portion by taking the economic burdens and putting it on the properties that will be sold as a part of the new portion of the project. And I don't think we see that very much around here. Lastly, gentlemen, I have proposed and have presented to you as a part of the tabs that are included in this book, proposed finding of fact and conclusions, would suggest to you things that I think that you have typically considered in the past and may be conditions that may or may not be appropriate. And of course, as always is the case, each of you or the commissioner with this area of interest has the opportunity to add or delete as the case may be appropriate. And Mr. Davidson, Mr. Bench, and I will stand ready to answer any questions you may have or may be referred to us from the audience. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And Mr. Johnson, I believe this is in your area of responsibility.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up with Mr. Schrader's opening comments about providing the presentation booklet. And it's very much appreciated, as well as your response to plus comments being tied in with the plus comments. That makes it easier, so I don't have to flip around as much and can better understand your proposal. With that said, without making your head swell too much,
I'll come to tough questions.
I do have a couple questions. And some of them are points of clarification, one being concerning the wetlands. Am I correct in that you're saying none of the lots are showing any wetlands within those lots?
There will be no wetlands within the boundaries of the lots.
And I understand the 30-foot setback that you're talking about on those lots from the wetlands, but is there any additional buffer between those lots and the wetlands?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, what we've done is the rear setback line in this district is 20 feet, and we've provided for an extra 10-foot buffer from the wetlands line.
So how far is the lot line actually from the wetlands?
The actual wetlands line does butt up to the wetlands line, but there's no lots. There's no lot lines extending into the wetland line.
But the lots may, in fact, butt up to the wetlands.
That is correct. Yes.
Without an additional buffer. Okay. One of the things I saw in reading the voluminous material was that there was mention of a stub or a connector road to another proposed development, and a comment in there that with this new plan, that stub road would not, or connector road would not be required. Can you show me on your map where that connector road might have been
Yes. In the beginning, when we were working on the subdivision, we were going after the letter of no objection with DelDOT. They wanted us to provide a cross-access easement to Bay Crossing for an extension, for a connection into the subdivision. We actually negotiated with them. We talked them out of providing that connection through to alleviate additional traffic coming through the subdivision.
I believe that at the time Bay Crossing was presented to the Commission for Review and Approval, that stub crossing created some controversy, and I believe that the residents of Dove Knoll were not particularly happy about the possibility of having cross-access easements with Bay Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With the lots that are in Parcel A, what size are those lots in comparison to those that are being proposed in B and C and Lot 17?
Again, I believe the smallest lot size in Parcel A is 20,000 square feet. I think their largest lots, the average lot size in Parcel A is somewhere around 30,000, 32,000 square feet. And we are approximately in comparison to that with the proposal. The existing lots, as shown on the approved, on the recorded subdivision plot, range from 24,000 square feet up through, I believe there's approximately, there's one lot in here that's approximately 4.5 acres in size.
I believe, Mr. Johnson, at the time the original Dove Knoll was proposed, that the project was not in a sanitary sewer district. And correct me if I'm wrong, Lawrence, but they would have had to be 3/4 acre lots while the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District was being constructed. And then sewer probably went into Dove Knoll about 1995, 96, 97.
Okay.
And that would have changed the standard for minimum lot size.
With the extension of the subdivision, there's reference to putting in sidewalks, I believe, on one side of the road.
That is correct.
Is there an ability to provide sidewalks in the existing part of?
We took a look at that during the preparation of doing parcels B and C. With the way the existing roads are built, with the swales on either side, and with all the improvements that have been made along the existing roadways, it just didn't seem practical at this time to be able to try to provide sidewalks through the existing roads, and the disruption to Parcel A would have been greater than what we were looking at doing.
Okay. Staying with the same theme of sidewalks, have you explored putting in sidewalks from the subdivision to the Midway Shopping Center to promote pedestrian safety and travel to and from?
Again, in order to, from the subdivision itself?
Yes.
Again, along Melson Road, no, we have not.
Okay.
Don't want standards, right?
The roads are DelDOT.
I'm not sure, Mr. Johnson, but I think the sidewalk issue may be DelDOT's because it's state road at that point.
Right, because they're state maintained roads, correct?
That is correct.
That are currently in the existing subdivision?
Yes.
So you would just be adding more state maintained or unmaintained roads? Excuse me, I digress.
We all have our.
I digress. In looking at the plus comments, and in your response to the plus comments, it's probably the third page back on your response under the natural and cultural resources. Within that section, there's the department strongly recommends that the applicant preserve the natural forested buffer, and they're suggesting a 100-foot buffer. And I see your response is saying, oh, well, we're going to give you an extra 10 feet. Do you believe that your proposal adequately addresses what the department was requesting?
Yeah, I think so, because what's being talked about right now with the pollution control, which has been taken out of the pollution control strategy, is the buffer requirement. And it's been discussed And, you know, it's been proven that, you know, 100 foot is too much. What we're providing is an additional setback, meaning we're going to, instead of under the old Dubnall, under the old requirements, there's a 20-foot setback along the wetlands here. What we're providing is an additional 10 feet. We're saying we're pulling the lots away from the existing forested wetlands, another 10 feet out of there. Again, the wooded section of Dove Knoll will have to go before the Architectural Review Committee. You just can't go in there as a builder and just start cutting trees down. It will have to be approved by the homeowners association. So we feel that we've, you know, with the buffer being, with the extra 10 feet, we feel that we've been able to pull things away from the actual wetlands.
And are you aware that of late, perhaps in the past 2 years I've been on the commission, that we've been looking at a minimum 50-foot setback from wetlands?
We do provide, there were no state wetlands mapped on this site, but we do, on the subdivision plats, I do provide distances from the from the Wolf Glade and the Pothook Creek, and we are a minimum of 50 feet from the backs of all the lot lines. That's to the lot lines. That's to the, actually it's 50 feet to the 404 wetlands line from the actual creeks themselves. With the extra 30-foot, with the extra 10-foot setback added to the 20-foot to the rears of the lots, the minimum in this area right here is approximately 50 feet. We will be 80 feet with along lot 143. The remaining is about an average of 80 to 100 feet to Pothook Creek and Wolf Glade from the backs of the lots.
And not too long ago, I heard a reference made that open space was going from 0% to 29%. When I look at the original subdivision, the one that exists there now, there appears to be a considerable open space area now. Was that taken into consideration in your 0% open space?
Well, actually, what we're considering, there's wetlands here.
Are you just considering the extension went from 0% open space to 29%. I'm not sure where your 29% came from.
The 29% includes the open space that we're creating inside the middle of the subdivision, and it also takes into account the wetlands. But there are wetlands that were in the original portion that could be considered as open.
So it really wasn't 0 to 29, it was something else to 29.
That is correct.
And your 29 includes the two wet ponds that as part of the open space.
That is correct, yes.
So if we take out the wet ponds and we take out the wetlands, what usable open space is actually being provided?
Well, again, wet ponds, you know, stormwater is open space.
Other than those.
Again, the ponds have been preliminary in size. They're about 2 acres in size for the total stormwater management. There's approximately 7.5 acres of open space, roughly, so about 5 acres of additional upland open space has been provided within parcels B and C, as in the original application, on the recorded subdivision plan, there are no upland open spaces within the existing approved recorded subdivision.
So in a shorter answer, how much open space besides the stormwater management pond and the swamp is there for available to the residents for their use?
There's probably approximately about 4.5 acres.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me, as I look at some of my notes, some of the questions I've already asked, I don't want to repeat the same question.
While you're doing that, Mr. Johnson, one of our architectural requirements will be that all functioning municipal buildings have operating air conditioners, not unlike this building.
Well, sir, if you would not mind increasing your property taxes, maybe we would have a good air conditioning system. Mr. Chairman, at this time, I have no further questions.
I'm willing to pay the $133 that Bob Benson offered to pay in order to get air conditioning.
Mr. Burton.
Staying on Mr. Johnson's comment on the sidewalks, you mentioned that there would be an option of a streetscape integration from the old to the new.
That is correct. What's being offered to Parcel A in the existing portion of Dove Knoll is existing street tree plantings along the roadways, as well as
in the swale. Type?
Actually, it would go up on the top of the bank of the swale within the right of way. We would offer it, or if I imagine I could let Mr. Benson answer.
To the extent available, for planning there, we want to do that. But also, it's important to remember that we're trying to maintain the autonomy of Parcel A. So we're proposing that this would be something that we would pay for, something that we would provide, but they would have to accept it as part of the uniform, the attempt to make the community uniform. Okay.
Thank you. The second mention was that the older Dove Knoll has no stormwater management system in it currently, and that you would have to then provide stormwater management.
Yes, that is correct, yes.
And all of that water would then end up in parcels B or C?
Well, right now, parcels B and C, nothing, there's no provision for stormwater. There is an existing swale that runs along what we're proposing is 97 and 99. Turtle Dove Drive and Dove Knoll Drive, I would say approximately maybe half of it drains in this direction towards parcels B and C. It hits an existing swale that runs approximately between lots 18 and 19 and then just dumps into the wetlands. There's no stormwater ponds, there's no stormwater conveyance system except for the swales. Parcels B and C, as they are recorded, don't show no provisions for stormwater management.
So there would be no change to parcel A as far as handling the water?
Now, what we would end up doing is at the ends of Turtle Dove Drive right now and Dove Knoll Drive, we will have to safely convey what stormwater is coming in that direction right now. Whether we continue with the swale here, again, we'll work with the Conservation District on this, provide some piping and look at possibly taking it to its original location, which is to the wetlands, or what we may end up having to do is when we connect the roads here, we will end up ultimately taking on that stormwater from this subdivision and treating it through our pond system prior to it exiting off-site.
Is there any buffer planned for the proposed clubhouse and the property next to it?
We provide a landscape screening. We've got a landscape screening proposed along the west side of the clubhouse, as well as we've provided for that 30-foot buffer along lots 20 through 24. So there will be a landscaping screen between
the backs of the property as well.
That is correct. We have landscaping all the way around.
I have no further questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Gordon.
All my questions have been answered. Okay.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I took a lot of notes. Most of them have been answered. I do just a clarification. Mr. Davidson, Deldot, which has the traffic aspect of subdivision in the county, you mentioned there was no traffic impact study.
That is correct. None was required.
None was required. No other questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lank.
All my questions have been answered, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Gouts. Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Mr. Burrell.
Yes, sir.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you would kindly stand down for a moment, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for waiting so patiently and quietly. And if there is anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-100 DK Properties LLC, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I missed you. All right, in favor, please come forward, sir. Give us your name and address, and you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Peter Holston. I live in Media, Pennsylvania.
My family owns most of the property in the subdivision, not all. And it's probably been in the family for 80 years or more. I don't really know, but it's been a very long time. 6 years ago, my sister and I became responsible for the property. And at that time, we had a couple goals that we wanted to accomplish. One is we wanted to complete Dubnoll in a way that we could be proud of at the end of the day, that we felt that that we could walk away from and be proud of, and that would also benefit the existing owners in the first phase. And we feel that the proposal with the state of the art amenities and improvements accomplishes that. And secondly, and maybe even more importantly, we wanted to work with people that we felt had the capacity to do the job properly and to get it accomplished the right way, and the people that we could trust. And we feel that this proposal accomplishes both goals, and we're in favor of it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Okay, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, members of this board, I'm Lowell Gettle. I live in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, tough county. But anyway, we have a home in Dove Knoll. We were about the third family that put a property up in Dove Knoll. And we love it, and I'll make this very brief. I want to thank you, Bob Benson, and all those that affiliated that give us this opportunity to receive the things that they're really putting out. Now, I've been chairman with the Home Builders Association. I was a politician. I was involved as a committeeman in my town, and I want some businesses. And I just want to thank the committee here and these fine people that met in my latter years that I look forward to, hoping that it gets approved, and thanks everybody. And we love it, and we love everybody there.
All right, sir, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back, in the lime green.
You can see the green.
Good move.
I have old eyes. My name's Susan Donahue. My husband and I live at 35 Turtle Dove Drive. Our property is at the end of the road, so the new section is adjacent to our property. Obviously, if I had my choice, I'd like to leave it the way it is because it's beautiful woods. But given the two plans, my husband and I support the amended plan. First of all, because we feel it creates a cohesive neighborhood. When you drive through the neighborhood, when you get to our house, you're not going to cross over into some other land. It provides some amenities like a pool and a clubhouse, neighborhood entry, streetlights, trees, and some maintenance. And these are things that people can purchase if you go to look for a new house of a similar price range in other neighborhoods. So we want our neighborhood to be coherent with what's going on in the market. Finally, these things are being done at no cost to our homeowners for 10 years, and I think that's an important thing. Finally, this has been a really tense time in our neighborhood with letters back and forth to people, and I do know that there's a petition out there signed by a lot of the neighbors, but as we listened, those neighbors, the only reasons they could give me not to be in favor was more traffic, and it was different than the original plan. And when we listened to Mr. Benson's plan, the positives we could get from the new neighborhood really outweighed a little more traffic, and change is something that has to happen. So we continue to stand by our support of the new, of the amended plan. Thank you.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Blue shirt.
Thank you, sir. My name's Henry Clark. I live in Rehoboth Beach. I have a piece of property in Dove Knoll. I believe that the changes that are requested for the amended plan represent improvements to the community. The roadside landscaping with the trees are additions that these are, have already been discussed, but these are all the improvements. The value of the property, I think, will be enhanced as a result of the changed plan. The addition of the pool and the clubhouse will make it a more desirable community when people are seeking to purchase property, in my opinion. And the cost savings to the property owners over the 10 years, I think, has already been addressed, but I think it's very valuable. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-100? Yes, sir, all the way over here. Okay, we'll get to you all. Thank you for being so patient. Everyone will get a chance to speak.
I have copies of my speech for the record.
Okay. Okay.
For the record, my name is Bill Heisey. I own property with my wife at 33 Turtle Duck Drive. I want to thank you for your attention to what I have to say tonight. I'm the president of the Dove Knoll Owners Association. In June 2004, the Dove Knoll Owners Association became an active association with attendance at annual meetings of 50% of its 65 property owners. The remarks I'm about to make have been reviewed by the association's board of directors with unanimous consent. I speak here on the authority of the association members via several resolutions passed at our annual meetings in June 2005 and 2006 that I will summarize later. And I speak on this flawed application of the so-called amended plan by Dove Knoll Properties. They call themselves Dove Knoll Properties sometimes, Dove Knoll Extension sometimes. I'll probably refer to them both in here. I intend on covering four main points. The Sussex County Ordinance 9913, there was some mention about that earlier, specifies that 51% of property owners must approve of any REIT subdivision that results in increased density in the subdivision. There's been a lot of discussion about what the interpretation of property owners is. The interpretation of 9913 should be that each owner gets one vote as it applies to REIT subdivision of existing subdivision regardless of the number of lots owned. The main goal of the ordinance is to limit the ability of developers to make wholesale changes to subdivisions after a majority of the lots have been sold and transferred to other property owners. Almost two-thirds of the lots in Dove Knoll have been transferred to 65 property owners. Two other property owners, you heard from one tonight, own the 41 undeveloped lots. So there are 67 property owners in Dove Knoll. This interpretation of voting would ensure that the majority of these 67 owners agree with the re-subdivision before it would be approved. If each lot received one vote, then 13 Dove Knoll property owners, 13, would be able to change the subdivision against the wishes of more than 50. Clearly, that's not the intent of the ordinance, at least the way I would interpret in terms of reading it. Under the one lot, one vote alternative interpretation, the two owners of the 41 undeveloped lots could coerce 11 owners to join them with financial incentives, in essence, buying their vote. This has indeed happened with DK Properties offering $10,000 for their vote to 25 owners. We have five objections to the plan that was proposed. First, the amended plan will increase the number of lots from 41 to 103 in the undeveloped area, a 2.5 times increase, not insignificant. This will significantly increase traffic through the existing portion of Dove Knoll and the already stressed traffic light at the intersection of Route 1 and Nelson Drive by the Midway Theaters. That drive in the summer, that exit in the summer, is almost impossible to get out of now. Second, the existing large lot 17, you heard them talk about, in the currently developed portion, will be converted to 12 building lots, a swimming pool, and a community center. The current plan has this area as one lot with one home. The association directors have received very specific objections to the amended plan from owners in this area of the current development. Third, Dove Knoll has a wide open field as one drives into development. DK Extension's plans would have lots with two-thirds the average size of the current portion. You know, they talk about, they compared lot size, it's really two-thirds. In fact, if you look at that plan, it's easy to see how much smaller the lots are in the amended plan versus the current parcel A plan. This would give a distinct feel of a separate community when driving from one to the next. They also talk about sidewalks. Did you hear them say that they would take a sidewalk away to match the current parcel A? No. Fourth, the amended plan proposes to build a community center and swimming pool. Before tonight, association directors had not heard from even one owner that wished to have these installed. They will only add to future expenses. DK Properties is likely to run into legal trouble when they try to transfer ownership of property that an existing legal entity or association does not want. Finally, the environmental impact of this plan is significant. The proposal is located inside the environmentally sensitive development district. Adding the proposed number of lots and paved roads to the headwaters of Pothook Creek and Wolf Glade, you can see them on the chart, will increase runoff flowing into these waters. The destruction of woods in this area will also increase the runoff. DK Properties say that they want to complete Dove Knoll in the spirit of the existing community. Their amended plan could not be further from this in our interpretation, with lot sizes two-thirds of the existing development, swimming pool, and community center. Like I said, you can, in my mind, you can see that quite clearly from the chart. They propose a separate association. We feel that's not good since we would lose control of much traffic flowing through our area. An example would be when they get in trouble with their dues, they could easily turn the swimming pool into a public swimming pool and therefore increase traffic through our area without our say-so. We did a study ourselves in terms of what would happen to our property dues, assessment dues for the association. Without a pool in a community association, we do not see our association fees going above $200 per month. We've been association for 3 years so far. We have a pretty good handle on our dues, and they're at $75 and have continued that way for 3 years. Since DK Properties presented their amendment plan 2 years ago in April 2005, the association members and directors have been active in considering the amended plan. At our annual meeting in June 2005, the basics of the plan was presented to the association. Mr. Benson was in attendance and answered questions from the association members. A resolution objecting to the plan was passed unanimously at that meeting. In the fall of 2005, 80% of the Dove Knoll property owners, 80% of the Dove Knoll property owners signed a petition objecting to DK Extension's plans. That number is now 85%. And there's copies of that in the plan that were provided to Mr. Lank. At our annual meeting in June 2006, we reaffirmed the first resolution, again unanimously. It specifically states that Dove Knoll Owners Association is against any change in the original approved plan on file with Sussex County, resulting in increased density in Dove Knoll. I remind you that I said 50% of the association members were in attendance at those meetings. DK Properties has responded with threatening letters about what they will do to the open space if the developed portion, which they still own, the open space and the developed portion, which they still own, if they do not get their way. They threatened that our annual associated dues would climb to $2,000 per lot per year unless they accept, we accept their plan. Finally, this past summer, after getting few to accept the proposal as is, DK Properties began to offer $10,000 to anyone who would sign on to their plan. Although it may not be illegal, it is certainly unethical in my mind and not the American way of doing business. They couldn't even get close to the required 51% of property owners without twisting the rules. The final point I want to make is more from the heart. This is just not right. The members of the Dove Knoll Owners Association purchased land and made improvements with certain understanding of the community size and makeup. For many of us, including myself and my wife, it's been for more than 10 years. We've had property and a home on that lot for more than 10 years. The association property owners have built homes on 62 lots, or 87% of the currently developed part of Dove Knoll. The association is active with 50% attendance at the annual meetings, and we have not had difficulty in collecting our dues to date. The community is well established, and we want to keep it that way. The owners of the undeveloped portion of Dove Knoll either purchased or inherited their land knowing what the current plan was, 41 lots. The association members are just asking them to complete that within the 41 lots. We realize there'll have to be changes in those lot plans, tension ponds and so forth, but 41 is 41. In summary, I've made 4 points. First, I talked about the local ordinance that is meant to protect individual property owners from developers and partially completed developments. Based on this alone, I believe you should reject this proposal. Second, I discussed our specific objections to the so-called amended plan, the number of lots, the size of those lots, the swimming pool in the community center, and the impacts to the environment. The third point I made was about the unwillingness of DK Properties to address our objections in a meaningful way. They only offered small financial offsets and other window dressings to their amended plan. And last, I've covered the unfairness of the proposal. Re-subdivision to the 65 owners. I would strongly recommend that the commission do the right thing and reject this application based on the law and the points that I've made. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, with your hand up in the air. There we go. Okay. You have the floor.
Good evening. My name is Lindy DeMeo. My husband, Mike McShane, and myself own and live at 17 Dove Knoll Drive, lot number 9 in Dove Knoll. We purchased our home with the understanding from the county's approved development plan that 41 additional lots, similar to the size of existing lots, would be developed in the future. There were also no county approved plans for any shared recreation area, ensuring that association fees would remain low. We built our home and settled into the Dove Knoll community based on Sussex County's approved plans for the future development. We oppose Mr. Benson's plans to ruin our community by squeezing 103 homes into the 41 existing approved lots. No matter how they spin it, doing 2.5 times as much building is going to impact the environment more. We oppose his plans for a community recreation area to include pools and tennis courts. His plan will ruin our quiet little neighborhood and negatively affect the surrounding nature and wildlife. There is something else in our neighborhood that needs to be addressed. For years, there has been talk of an ancient Indian burial site in Dove Knoll. I first heard of it from an elderly gentleman, Mr. James Duffy, a local businessman who owns a well digging company. He was born to sharecroppers and raised on this land more than 70 years ago. He personally pointed out the site to me. It is located behind number 27 Dove Knoll Drive, which is right about here. It is a raised area that is very overgrown now. He is certain that this is the area. He said it used to be larger and square, but now it is a smaller triangular area, maybe 70 feet by 60 feet by 60 feet. He remembered as a child finding old stone tools, utensils, and other Indian artifacts whenever they tilled this ground. He remembered his family telling him the Indians had always lived just north of the site where the two creeks meet. I contacted the state archaeologist Chuck Phippian on 4/23 of this year, and he recently came out and looked over the area. He told me that they found many Indian artifacts and felt that the burial site area is unusual and plans to look at it more closely. He referred me to Sussex County historic planner Jason Smith, who I contacted on 4/26. He is also hoping to investigate the area. In Mr. Benson's DC Group April 22nd letter to Ms. Holland of the Office of State Planning and Coordination, they say that the State Historic Preservation Office sent them an email on 5/23/05 indicating that there are not any archaeological sites on this property. This conflicts with the recent findings of the state archaeologist Mr. Phippian and county historic planner Jason Smith. There should be no development until these sites are further investigated and preserved. So I plead with you to save our neighborhood and the surrounding nature by limiting the future development in Dove Knoll to the already approved 41 home lots. Our area is severely overdeveloped as it is. This out-of-control growth has to stop. Please draw the line here. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to submit a copy of your speech for the record? Or?
Sure.
Would be helpful for the keeping of the minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else for the opposition? Yes, I see a hand behind a head there. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and the lady in the red. Okay.
Good evening, members of the Planning and Zoning Board. For the record, my name is Dee Minnick, and my address is number 6 Dove Knoll Drive. I'm sorry, 11 Dove Knoll Drive, lot number 6. In lieu of being redundant, I agree with the speakers who preceded me in opposition to this application of increased density. As well as a homeowner of Dove Knoll, I'm also a senior vice president of Camdenian Homes, one of the largest home builders in the nation and a builder in Sussex County. I know and participate in many rezoning hearings throughout 6 states. Therefore, I'm not a NIMBY who opposes all development. When Mr. Bob Benson from DK Extension LLC approached the homeowners with the revised site plan that would more than double the home density of parcels A, B, and C, many of us tried to open a dialogue about a compromise on the home site count. Mr. Benson stated that wasn't an option, intimating it was all or nothing. As a builder and developer, my company works closely to find an amicable solution that's agreeable to all parties when we request rezoning of a parcel. Mr. Benson segregated the Dove Knoll homeowners, bribing select homeowners with a $10,000 cash offer to vote in favor of his rezoning.
Ma'am, I just want to stop you just for a second. I would ask you to refrain from inflammatory language like
okay.
Bribing. What they did, you may not like it, I may not like it, but I don't think it was illegal.
And okay.
So.
Mr. Benson also threatened to place stormwater management ponds in our common area if we insisted on the original parcel that was supposed to be built out. Where are the county traffic studies? We can't get out onto Route 1 now at a traffic light that only allows 3 to 4 vehicles to exit. By Mr. Benson's own admission, we would have a 1,700 vehicle increase per day. Where are the environmental studies? More development creates runoff and negatively impacts the wetlands. And Mr. Johnson, you made a good point earlier when you were talking about how close they were coming to the wetlands. I mean, obviously, that's certainly not enough buffer. We have recently experienced many problems from Bay Crossing, not adhering to proper stormwater management controls that have actually blocked the creek and Dove Knoll. Lastly, in my 25-year tenure with Kevnanian Homes, I've never heard of unimproved, undeveloped, undertaxed, and most important, unannexed to a Dove Knoll Homeowners Association getting votes towards a rezoning application. I consulted with my company counsel. He not only agreed with my assessment, but said it would set a precedent for all builders and developers to outvote homeowners associations on such issues. Please make the appropriate decision and deny this increased density application. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to submit a copy?
I certainly would.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Pam Walpole, and I have lived in Dove Knoll for 4.5 years. A lot of what I wanted to say, of course, has already been said, so I will try and spare you that.
Thank you.
The thing that I want to emphasize is the gigantic percentage of current homeowners who have said to DK Extensions, we do not want your changes. They are telling us that 41 homes increased to 103 is for our own good and is for our betterment, and we do not agree. They are telling us what's for our good. 85% of the homeowner association members do not want increased density. We do not want a clubhouse. We do not want tennis courts, lighted or unlighted. We do not want a community pool. We do not want to surrender architectural diversity. We do not want additional daily traffic. And you've all heard ad nauseum about the traffic nightmare traffic light we have at the corner leading out. We do want the open space, that beautiful, precious rarity in Rehoboth Beach, to remain open space, as we were told. So, if 85% of us have signed petitions that say we don't want these changes, and we are the people living here, who wants them? Well, Mr. Robert Benson and DK Extensions do. They want a club-centered community. We bought in Dove Knoll because we didn't want that kind of community, because it's diverse homes and because it doesn't have that kind of association and kind of almost commercialization. Residential, peaceful, centrally located community, and that's what we want to preserve. So we are asking all of you to please say no to DK Extensions. They want to increase 41 homes to 103 for one reason and one reason only, because it benefits them. It's time to respect the taxpaying homeowners' wishes. After all, we have to live with the consequences of increased density once Mr. Benson and DK has left town. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you like to submit a copy of your remarks for the record?
Yes, I will. I have some copies.
Thank you. Okay. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, over here, and then all the way in the back, and then we'll finish up with, then you're third, okay? Don't let me forget, okay.
Good evening. My name is Larry Grassi, and I live at 27 Dove Knoll Drive with my wife. currently, I serve as the vice president of the Homeowners Association, but tonight I'm speaking as a resident. Bill spoke on behalf of the association, so we won't go into the redundancy and belabor the obvious. We purchased our home in 2000. Before making our decision to buy, we asked about what was going to happen to the lot behind us, which happens to be lot 17. We were told that there would be one house that would be built on that lot. Obviously thinking, well, if they build one house, it's got to be one gorgeous house. It's a 7-plus acre lot. But that's the way it's zoned. We were also told that there would be 41 more lots and two sections to be completed at a later date. Larger lots probably for larger homes. We made a decision based on this. We purchased our home in March of 2000 with the idea that we found a place we were, we wanted to retire with no exorbitant homeowners fees, no condo fees, the things that we really wanted to have. In April of, we moved here permanently in June of 2004 when I was finally able to retire. Wonderful day in my life. And I look forward to you guys enjoying that too. In April 2005, DK Properties LLC became actively involved in the completion of the remaining parts of the community. This changed the whole perspective that we bought into, not only going, as you've heard, from the 41 lots to 103, but we were now going to look at 12 homes in a community center on the beautiful lot 17 that was zoned for one house and now houses a couple of fox, 27 deer, several animals that you can see at any given time. They like to eat our hosta, but that's fine. Somebody's got to feed them. At any rate, this really changed our perspective when we found out that we decided that we were opposed to this, very much opposed to it. We found out that most of the community, what you've already heard about it, was opposed to it too. And rather than go into all the reasons, which I agree that you've already heard, I want to mention two things. In the fall of last year, I attended a Civic Association meeting with another one of our members, with Russ Klatz. The speaker was Connie Holland, and I know you're all very familiar with her. She said two things that stuck in my mind from that dinner. One was that there were, at that time, over 60,000 lots in Sussex County that were approved to be built on. The other thing was that there are no bad developers, there are only bad laws. I'm not going to comment on the first one because that's not my job to judge, but I would like to talk about Ordinance 9913, which we've probably beaten into the ground tonight. It is not a bad law. What it does is it protects the majority from the few. And if that's allowed to function the way it's intended, then I think you fellas will make the right decision in that regard. My wife and I are very much opposed to this application, and we're asking you to also reject the application and do the right thing in our eyes. Thank you for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay. Would you like to submit those? That's helpful to us if you do.
Thank you.
Mr. Mott.
My name is Mike Mock. I live at 24 Dovenell Drive. Between Bonnie and I, we own 13 Dovenell Drive, 15 Dovenell Drive, 22 Dovenell Drive, 30 Dovenell Drive, and 32 Dovenell Drive. We got a vested interest. In 10 years, when the assessment is handed to us at $2,000 a year, it means we're going to pay $14,000 a year in assessment fees. They keep saying they're going to shield it, but there's no way. If you look at the original plot plan that they refer to as very old, under developer it says Hubert Mock Jr., that's me. I am the developer of Dovenell. I created the front section. I created the back section. Now, I thought I did a very good job. I think these people agree. We did a great job. You got to be there to understand it. Living in Dovenell is wonderful. We all have 8-acre backyards. We've got neighbors we like. We can see them, but we can't see what they're doing. They're close enough, but not too close. When I created the back this way, I thought it was a very responsible way to do it. I took 2-acre lots, 600 feet deep, so we saved 30 acres of woods with very little disturbance. You built by the road, the back was conserved. We had over 30 acres of basically saved forest at no expense to the Dovenell owners. The property owners took care of their own thing. If through all these proceedings it's decided that what they want to do is redraw Dovenell and that they obviously don't want to finish it the way it is, then I think the only proper way to do that is to vacate the old plan and tell them come back with a 41 lot drawing that you do like. I can't see increasing the lots. I can't follow the logic of 41 very expensive homes on very big lots and decreasing the value of my house while 103 very expensive houses on little tiny lots will make it go up in value. I just don't follow that. On the way to this meeting, we've passed several subdivisions with some houses, and a clubhouse and a pool and a lot of vacant lots. If people are really looking for that, there's lots and lots and lots of those lots. You'll never find another place here like Dove Knoll in this spot. Can't make it anymore. If they don't want to finish the plan as is, I say wipe it out. Come back with something that we, the Dove Knoll owners, approve of. I thought I did a pretty good job. You know, I like to talk. I got my restrictions down to one page. I thought for me that was damn good. They still work. I don't think the people that live there have an issue with our restrictions. The one thing that I think the wannabe developers have is that we require 75% to make changes. That hasn't been anywhere close to being met. And until that's met, I don't see how anybody can shove 103 lots down our throats. We're saying we'll cooperate for 41. We won't cooperate for 42. Lot 17 is a lot. It's part of the front. The front section that's finished is 75 acres with 71 lots on it. That's less than one lot per acre. I don't know where the math comes from. As far as I'm concerned, we did a great job. We could have put all those lots in 15 or 20 years ago. I thought as a 27-year-old developer, I was doing a pretty responsible thing by saying, look, don't just jam all these houses in here. Make some place that's nice. When I met Bonnie, she said, you know, I love it. I want to build a house on this lot. I want this open space behind me. We got neighbors across the street. We love them. We give them tomatoes. We watch the deer together. That's what you do in Dove Knoll. That's what we're about. And I'll shut up before I say anything.
That's all right. You're fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Okay. Let's see. And it's your turn. This is Granke.
Good evening. I'm Mabel Granke. I do not live in Dove Knoll, but I have known them for many years because we've worked together in the Citizens Coalition. And I'm here tonight, though, for the legislative arm of our 501c4, known as the Citizens Action Foundation. And I would like to raise what I feel are some basic concerns that need to undergird the decision tonight and possibly decisions in the future. And number one is the philosophy put forth that this is an old community and has to be revamped, renewed, and made new. And to me, that's a very frightening philosophy, and I think a threatening one in terms of many other places in Sussex County. So I hope that it does not become a prevailing sentiment in the development community. The next is the fact that we have been becoming very concerned and would like to suggest, not only suggest, recommend, that when the Planning Commission is ready to make a decision, it be your staff that presents conditions to you and not the developer. I would like to challenge two statements made by Mr. Davidson. One, that it had been proven that 100-foot buffers were not scientifically acceptable, evidently. And I think that before you accept any kind of a statement like that, you ask for scientific proof. Then you need to listen, possibly, to your record, because as I picked up, it was said that they would save forest resources as much as possible. I hope I didn't mishear. Then I think the question needs to be raised that if you're going to have two homes associations and the one that is already established is supposedly being given, and I put it in quotes, a free ride for 10 years, I strongly suspect that the new homeowners would have something to say about that and the legality of that, and so I hope that that also is explored. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. I live in a very old community. It's called Lewis. Hasn't been changed a whole lot. I want to just give you some history, and Lawrence will remember this. I was a member of, I've been a member of a lot of Route 1 committees since about 1993 when they started looking at Route 1, but I was a member of the state Route 1 land use and transportation study, and this was sponsored by the county and DLDOT. And it looked at areas around and adjacent to Route 1 and the concerns that were raised. It said that the SR1 study area encompasses many natural and man-made resources that contribute to the unique character of this area. These resources must be preserved, conserved, and protected. And it talked about the sensitive environment. It says SR1 study area, and this includes the Dove Knoll area, by the way. That's why I'm stating this. The area is part of a very significant and sensitive environmental region due to its proximity and interaction with Rehoboth Bay, Delaware Bay, and the Atlantic Ocean. Its major waterways include Love Creek, Rehoboth Bay, Lewis, and Rehoboth Canal. The area also includes a number of tributaries, and that would be Pothook Creek and Wolf Glade. We spent a lot of time on this plan, but apparently this plan hasn't really been discussed a whole lot. There was a talk about wellhead protection areas, and I'll read this in my statement, but I'll quote here. The wellhead protection area, an excellent groundwater recharge area, have been designated as critical areas in the state land use code by the Delaware Geological Survey. All county comprehensive plans must consider critical areas in land use decisions by 2007. That's the plan we're working on right now. The 2003 Sussex County Comp Plan mentions these critical areas but does not propose the development of regulations pertaining to them. It talks about the aquifer and how it's very vulnerable to contamination and surface runoff. And I'd like to bring your attention to these stormwater ponds that seems to be cropping up all over the place and attracting all sorts of things, an attractive nuisance, I call them, because little kids like to find and play near them, and that could be a danger. Litter seems to collect in them for some reason or other, and resident waterfowl come around, and people don't like that because they do things on property adjacent to that that residents don't like. And I'm wondering why no one talks about a bioswale system. By using diatomaceous earth and bioswale and bioretention, you can do away with stormwater ponds. I think developers like to put them in because it gives somebody waterfront property, and I don't think that's really desirable in this area, given the fact that there's enough water that we have adjacent to this property already. And so I would say that maybe you ought to ask the engineer to look at bioswale and bioretention, whether it stays at 41 lots or whatever you decide it be. Because the way that he described the drainage, it seems to me it would be a pretty easy task to do this. They're not going to have to make water run uphill. It's going to run the way they want to run. And now for the record, I'd like to read this statement. And by the way, Citizens Coalition, when we've had recent board meetings, and you may have noticed we're not here at every situation because unless a community asks our assistance, we figure it's their responsibility. And so this community asked us our advice, and I did talk to Mr. Heise. I did email him some ideas and thoughts, and they asked us to give some testimony, and that's why I'm here this evening. And I live in that area as well. I mean, it's not that I'm not from that area. And they're definitely right about that intersection. I don't want to tell you that I'm a cyclist, that I come out there at Postal Lane sometimes, and it's a heck getting through that intersection sometimes. It's very dangerous. Citizens Coalition opposes approval of subdivision 2005-100 for the many reasons given by the residents of Dove Knoll. As one who has stood before you on many occasions, registering concern over the siege of development that has rapidly transformed coastal Sussex, I want to focus your attention on some critical issues. I mentioned that I served on the Public Advisory Committee of the Route 1 Land Use and Transportation Study sponsored by DLDOT and Sussex. The diverse group of citizens and agency members looked at many issues affecting land use and transportation along Route 1 corridor, especially east of Route 1 and the land including and surrounding Dove Knoll. A key finding was that the surrounding land was environmentally sensitive because of the nature of the estuary on which it is situated and the headwaters of Pot Hook Creek and Wolf Glade. Both of these streams, as I said, empty into Lewis Rehoboth Canal and, of course, eventually into the Delaware Bay. I read the TAC response from DENREC, the August 22 response, and it says, and I quote, "It is unclear how wide the buffer between the lot lines and wetlands is going to be, but anything less than 100 feet is considered inadequate for the protection of water quality and integrity of the wetlands." There you have DENREC telling you. I'm not an expert in this, and I don't propose that 100 foot fits all developments. What I do propose is 100 foot ought to be the starting point. Okay, now you tell me with empirical and scientific data what it ought to be. If it's 68 feet, I'll accept that. If it's 92 feet, I'll accept that. If it's 120 feet, we have to accept that. But I think we ought to start someplace. Here's DENREC telling us. They know more than I know. Another key aspect of the study revealed that much of this land is in an important wellhead and recharge area. The land surrounding and including Dove Knoll is rated excellent or good. And I have the map here that shows it. There it is. Excellent or good. We have to protect our water. If we don't have water, we don't have community. We can't drink water. I lived in Hokesson for 20 years. And I remember turning the faucets on and nothing came out. And that was because of the development that was taking place in Hokesson, and they were not taking into consideration the Cockeysville aquifer. Our Columbia aquifer is much more vast than the Cockeysville aquifer that we had in Hokesson. They rectified that problem. But when I moved into my house, which was built in the 1880s, it had a well and a septic system, and that well had run dry because of what the water, artesian water, had done to us. But then everybody's, well, not everybody, but a lot of people on the higher levels of Hokesson, they lost their water. We can't afford to have that happen to us. So when the committee started, this is the SR1 committee, started to identify village centers. One was situated uncomfortably close to the city of Lewis, again on that eastern side, around maybe Gill's Neck and Freeman Highway or King's Highway. A city council member representing Lewis objected to the heightened development on the town's doorstep because not only of the environmentally sensitive nature of the land and its rechargeability, but its negative impact on the infrastructure, and you've heard discussions about infrastructure, of Lewis and the surrounding area. The comments submitted to P&Z by DENREC also bear a candid warning, and this is because I did not see this. I'm going to read this because I was not privy to the plus comments, that the plus comments and recommendations to make greater effort to preserve forests and protect wetlands does not appear to have been considered. The memo continues, nearly 50% of the existing forest is still going to be cleared outright and does not include future clearing by landowners. A greater effort to preserve forest and the sensitive area could have been made by scaling the project back rather than expanding it. You are planners. I'm a member of the Planning Commission in Lewis, and I know that sometimes we're confronted with issues that are difficult to make. I'm not sure this is that difficult. You must apply not only the impersonal focus of the existing comprehensive plan, but you also must consider the environment and the future of what will be. When you look at the environment, you know, we consider wildlife, streams and marshes, but you also have to consider people. The people are part of the environment, of this environment. The flora and fauna cannot attend meetings and speak, but the people do speak and they should be listened to, and decisions should be made with a view to all elements of the environment, and that is the people. It is with this vision that I ask you to deny the unneeded change in density in favor of the citizens and their environment called Dove Knoll.
Okay, apparently you're finished. Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? I see a hand over here. Yes, sir, and then ma'am, you'll be next. All right, sir, go ahead.
Good evening. Gentlemen, my name is Dick Deskus, 3 Turtle Dove Drive. Some of you have been around here a while. Dennis used to sit over there. Seemed like I recall on a few occasions that I've been here that a developer with a parcel of land does not get any votes. I'm sorry that I think you wasted your time having this meeting. It should have been stopped before it got started. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name's Debbie Coffin, lot 107, 18 Dove Knoll Drive. I'd like to speak for the creatures that can't speak for themselves. Okay. We look out the window anytime, and we see animals day and night. And I do believe that somebody needs to speak up for all those creatures. If you want to take a drive into our neighborhood, anytime, you will see all these animals, wildlife. And we're going to lose that if we lose our forest. And we put in all these homes. So I just like to speak for animals that can't speak for themselves. And that's something we all need to think about because we're sharing this earth with them.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, in the yellow shirt. It's a good thing I'm not colorblind. Nobody'd ever get up here.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Francis Dugan. My wife and I are residents at number 6 Dove Knoll Drive, the development of Dove Knoll, and are against the plans of DK Extensions and Robert Benson to build 103 homes instead of the 41 homes in the original site plan. Our reason is twofold. Because of the large amount of traffic at our intersection, Route 1 and Melson Road, which is an F-rated crossing, many of our homeowners are seniors with serious health issues. We are concerned on how emergency vehicles, fire trucks, etc., will be able to enter and exit our development in a safe and timely manner. Gentlemen, please do the right thing and deny DK Extensions their plans to build 103 homes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am, in the orange sweater.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Terry Grossmiller, and I live at 16 Turtle Dove Drive. My husband and I, we moved down here because we wanted peace and quiet. And we love the neighborhood. Where else, right off Route 1, could you look out your back? We have about 1.5 acres and see 4 and 6 deer. We have groundhogs. We call them Bubba. We've even named him. We have squirrels. We have birds. It's beautiful to sit there. Mr. Benson wants to ruin that, and we're not going to have it. We'll fight him to the end. I'm a talker. I don't have a list, but I'm talking from my heart.
You're welcome.
And I hope you make the right decision. I'm praying for all of you.
Thank God. Amen to that. We need all we can get.
I'm still a young chick.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else like to speak in opposition, young or old? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Christine Bowen, and we hailed from Newcastle County for one particular reason, and that was to retire in comfort in Sussex County, because we've known of it for the last 40 years. We immigrated to this country from Ireland, and we love it here. My husband is handicapped, so I decided I was going to take this parcel of land, and I personally designed a handicapped accessible home for him so that the day won't come when I have to shove him into a retirement community or an old age home. I want to try and keep him at home as long as I can. He's older than I am, and hopefully I will live long enough to take care of him. He's all handicapped accessible with ramps and everything else. I do not want to have to leave this community. That is the number one reason, because of him and his handicap. Number two, we have the beauty of the nature around us. We've seen hawks, owls, squirrels, fox. I had counted 27 deer in the driveway the other night. He was nibbling on my plants, but I put out some liquid fence, and he doesn't come back, so that's corrected. And there's also open season on the deer where they're thinned out, and the state allows people to go in there and hunt and thin them out so they don't become overly prolific and so forth. And that's all understandable. The deer can be a little pesty, but I still love them. I just don't want to see the community torn to pieces. And I know that, those woods back there do possess something that needs to be researched thoroughly. I feel that there could be a lot of things back there that needs protection. I do know that there are rare plants back there. Now, of course, we may say a rare plant is not very important. But, you know, we see eagles, we see all these things flying around us, and there has to be more than just rabbits back there, if you will, to be taken care of. So I just don't want to have to move again. When we bought into this community, we thought we were set for life. I built the house surrounded completely around him, and I hope to be able to stay there and not be pestered with traffic. If I call an ambulance, I hope that ambulance can get up that street. Now, I understand from looking at the application, and I'm not really good at studying an application. I don't profess to be an engineer or anything else. But they talked about putting in a 100-foot-wide road, I believe, in our development. This is what I thought I read.
I'll find out for you.
Okay. I went out with a measuring rod last night. My driveway is 27 feet wide at the mouth. Turtle Dove Drive is only 25 feet wide at the widest point. Now, to widen that road and put in two roads so that you can have traffic pass each other, where's the land going to come from? It's going to take away the mouths of our lawns on either side. I'm assuming this is what only thing could happen. I don't know where else the land is going to come from.
We'll get an answer for you on that.
Okay.
They can't take your land without your permission.
Well, that may be. I know so much of it belongs to the county. I know that for a fact because it's sewer and what have you.
The right of way, sure.
But I do want it researched so that there's nothing in that woods that gets destroyed, because I suspect that there's a lot back there. And I don't want to have to move again. I thought we were settled for life. We're on fixed incomes, completely retired. I don't want to have fees that I cannot afford to pay and have to move on to something else because, you know, there's extra expenses put on us that we don't deserve and that we didn't expect or anticipate at all in the beginning. Okay. And I don't appreciate somebody coming to me with a $10,000 certificate asking to buy my vote. I was terribly insulted. When I came into this country, I was handed a Bill of Rights in Boston. And I was told that I had freedom of this, freedom of that, and freedom of the other, and that you could not buy a vote. That was something I was told. Now, of course, that pertains obviously to government, but I don't appreciate anybody coming to me and offering to buy my vote for $10,000. If he started at $100,000, I still would not have taken it, or $200,000. He cannot buy my vote. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. For anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Before we go on, Mr. Davidson, could you address the 100-foot road?
Yeah, the proposed right-of-way coming into for parcels B and C will be 50 feet wide. The pavement section would be 22 feet wide as per state specifications. I believe the existing right-of-way coming through the parcel A is 50 feet wide, and they do have a 24 to 25-foot wide pavement section.
So there's no 100 feet anywhere?
No, okay. Not at all.
Just 50-foot right-of-way and 25-foot road.
That's correct. Okay.
All right, anyone else like to speak in opposition? Before we close the public hearing, let's have a show of hands. Give our attorney something to do tonight. Of course, bear in mind, he's a lawyer, not a mathematician, so you're going to have to hold your hands up for a minute. First, in favor, because there were several people that did testify in favor. People in favor, please raise your hands. Keep them up there. He might have to use his toes and his fingers.
How many you got?
He's had like nine.
Nine, okay. You didn't even get your left hand finished. Well, he's not here. We can't count him, but we heard him. He's on the record, okay?
Round it off.
Okay. Now, opposed, please. Hold him up. Just one now. Just one hand to a person. Okay. No two-handers. Well, let's get him. Let's count him for the record.
Bob, you said you're going to keep the record open.
We're keeping the record open for the purpose of the 51% issue. The record's being kept open for purposes of the staff to give us a report and for our attorney to give us an opinion. That's all we're doing with that. But yes, it is open for that purpose. You got him?
Yeah, what'd we get?
61, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close the public hearing. I want to thank you all very much for being here. You've been extremely patient and well-behaved. I would ask you to not ruin your good record when you leave here, because I need, believe it or not, we have another public hearing, and then we have to go back through all the others we did. So we're going to be here for a while. You're welcome to stay. Otherwise, you can call the office in the morning. Good night. Thank you.